It's really good to be here. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 38, the story of Judah and Tamar, probably the seediest, most terrible chapter in the whole of the Bible. So God said, speak on that seedy chapter, Mike. I tried not to. It wasn't originally going to be in our sermon series, and Joseph tried to avoid it, but then God has just said he's created space for it to happen. Hope you've got your sermon bingo cards. You got your sermon bingo cards ready? Yeah, Nick and Andrew's idea, and Ruth mentioned it yesterday morning. I thought, yeah, I'm going to do that. So the only downfall is I'm going to be looking at people's tops of people's heads, aren't I? Because you'd be like this. So when you've managed to get all of your words, I don't know what should you shout out? I don't know what you shout out. House.
Bingo.
Bingo. Okay, it's only like a spiritual version of bingo. There's not, is there? Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't know. Okay. And I've been through it. They are here. The words are here. Okay. So if you haven't got a full house by the end of the sermon, you've not been listening. You haven't got. You don't have to do it. Okay. You don't have to do it. It's just a bit of a laugh. For those people listening on the podcast, we're going to put it on the website as well. So if you want to download your sermon bingo card, it is there for you. Okay. I think this might become a regular feature. I'm going to read from Genesis. If you need some pens, they're down here. Genesis chapter 38, verses 1 to 16a. I wanted to read the whole seedy, sordid story, but I couldn't. And as I'm reading it out, I want you to think to yourself, if Mike told me to preach on this, what would I preach on? Okay, that's what you're... What would I preach on? If this was given to me to preach, what would I preach? Genesis chapter 38, starting at verse 1. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hira. There Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and lay with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son who was named Er. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kezib that she gave birth to him. Kezib, interestingly, the root word for Kezib is deception. Isn't that interesting? Mm. Judah got a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, lie with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother. But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight. So he put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. For he thought he may die too, just like his brothers. So Tamar went to live in her father's house. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah, to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira the Adullamite went with him. When Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep, she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, come now, let me sleep with you. Well, we'll leave it there. I would like to read the whole sordid story, but I won't be. You can read that yourself tonight. Billy Graham said once, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. This is a story of contrast. I don't know what you would preach on, but this is a story, as Adrian, as Andrew have already said in our series in Joseph, our Founding Father series, this is a story of character. This is a contrast between Judah and Joseph, a contrast in their characters and in their destinies. A prophet is someone who declares the word of God, not just with their words, but also with his or her life and character. Jesus himself, he was asked about prophets, and he talked about false prophets in Matthew chapter 7, verse 18. And he said this, he said, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus," he said, "by their fruit you will recognize them. Whatever came from Judah, the Lord destroyed, because it was bad fruit, wicked in the Lord's sight." Judah's character and nature was not a character that would produce anything that would be sustained by God. Judah, you see, he left his family at the beginning of the chapter. He marries women from a different culture, which his forefathers had forbidden. Judah's two sons, Ur and Onan, were wicked, so they were put to death by the Lord, which must have been pretty wicked. Judah tries to protect his third son by deception, and he deceives his daughter-in-law by pretending that Shelah would marry her when there was no intention of doing so. His wife dies, and almost immediately, it seems, he goes and lies with a prostitute. Here is a picture of someone without character or any kind of moral backbone. Adrian pointed out last week that Judah came from a line of deceivers. The generational sin was one of deception. And in fact, Judah was the ultimate deceiver because the name Judah means praise. But his life was anything but praise. I'm under quite a lot of pressure because my name is Michael, which means like God, apparently. So that's like, thanks, Mum. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it? Like God. I know there are times in my life now and again when I'm not like God.
But Mitchell means like God as well. So.
Yeah, I know. Mitchell is Spanish for Michael, so it's like God, like God. I'm doubly hypocritical every day of my life. But you know, it's so good that the mercy and the grace and the love of God is with us, isn't it? But Paul says this, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "Be conformed to the likeness of his Son." Be conformed. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, he says this, "Walk in a manner worthy of God." In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Train yourself for godliness. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "Keep a close watch on yourself." This is something that Judah didn't do, and something we often find very tricky. You know, it's very easy to keep a close watch on everyone else, isn't it? You know, some of us quite like doing that, keep a close watch. But, you know, we're the only people that we can't see all the way around. I can see Adrienne from all over the place, but Adrienne, I can't see myself. I can't see, you know, unless you angle the mirror just right. You know, if you get all those mirrors like in a row, three or four mirrors in a row, have you ever done that? When you go into these changing rooms at Marks and Spencer's and you've got all these mirrors and you can, or if you see, what's that guy, that Gok, what's it thingy? Yeah, and he gets you to stand naked in front of all these mirrors. I would hate that, wouldn't you? Hate that. To see yourself from all the way round. That would be absolutely horrendous. A while ago, Sam and Sarah invited us round to their house for a meal, a little while ago. And our house was a bit of a mess. It's probably a Friday, and the house was a mess, and it was things all over the place and so on. We kind of just thought, oh, we'll tidy it up tomorrow. It's Saturday tomorrow, we'll tidy up tomorrow. Then I got a text off Sam. He said, "We've got an ant infestation." Do you remember that? There's ants in my house. I've got an ant infestation. Can we come to yours? I don't think he said, "Can we come to yours?" I think we'll have to cancel. And I haven't confessed this. I said, "Well, you can come to ours." Oh, no! No, the house is a mess. It was like 15 minutes. Sweat was pouring. You know, the Hoover was out. There was like things being shoved in cupboards. It was like, oh, they're coming to our house. You know, and I'm the leader of the church. And we all know cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, are we ready for others to look at our lives? And are we living like Judah? Or are we living like Judah in the hope that no one looks too closely? That no one comes round? In the hope that no one notices? That we're not living up to our name followers of Jesus Christ, conformed to his image? Are we hoping that no one digs down underneath, who really gets to know us and finds out, actually, you're not living a life of praise? We've been thinking about Zoe's challenge, human trafficking. And people have signed up there. And in this civilized world today, there are mothers who sell their own children into modern-day slavery to feed a drug addiction. What Judah did was no different. You know, Judah sold his youngest brother, who he should have been protecting, to passing traders. I can leave Grace with her sisters, and you know what? She might annoy them, and she might work them up, and they might nag each other, but I'm fairly sure I'm not going to come home and find that they've sold her, not putting ideas in your head, to the nearing passing door-to-door salesperson. But Judah did it. You know, and that's happening in our modern age. We need to get on our bikes. You know, when we face those kind of challenges, that Zoe's challenge, we together are going to stop the sex industry. We together in this country. You know, I'm not going to go down that route because I get angry. But do you know, there are so many victims. And as a church, we together, even if it's 10 minutes on a bike for 20p, together, we're going to stop it happening. In verse 16 in this passage sums Judah up perfectly. The moment in which he was about to sleep with his own daughter-in-law, it says this, not realizing. Judah was a man who was caught up with his own desires and his own needs and his own life and what he wanted. It was as though he was completely without any insight at all. He had no thought for God or for others. He was without realization. He didn't understand or perceive the truth, the bigger picture. Joseph, however, was a contrast. As Judah's character got worse through tough circumstances, Joseph's character, as we will see later, grew. The contrast is there. Adrian said last week, tough times should not equal bad behavior. And for Judah, it was. You know, he must have been racked with guilt that he had sold his brother, when he'd seen his father in tears that his brother had been lost. And I don't think it's unrelated that he then left at that point his family. He couldn't face the day-to-day seeing his father distraught and heartbroken at the loss of his younger brother, and he was to blame. But you know, as circumstances got tough for Judah, he just turned more and more and more to sin. Whereas with Joseph, he was the one sold into slavery, the one who was ultimately thrown into prison. His character just grew and grew. How do we respond to tough circumstances? Joseph was a prophet that was unrecognized by Judah or any of his brothers. He was a youngest brother. He was the father's favorite. Seemed he didn't go out to work like the other brothers because he was sent to them in the fields where they were grazing the flocks. And the brothers, including Judah, resented Joseph for all these reasons and maybe more. Within that community, I can see pens going. Within that community, well done, bingo. Within that community, Joseph did not fit in. The prophet that God had sent to that community did not fit in. He was immature and foolish in the way he just blurted out his dreams without any apparent awareness how the brothers would have felt about it. But he was young. Now, he was immature. He was learning. Did anyone take him to one side and gently mentor him? No, he was rejected and despised. His brothers didn't want to listen. And I wonder, is it possible that sometimes we don't hear the word of God because we let our prejudices get in the way? Things we know about people that limit how we receive God's word from them. Their past, their manner, their bossiness, their shyness, their way of talking, walking, thinking and stinking. And we just shut off. No, I know them. I'm not going to listen to them. What is our idea of what a prophet should be? Who is allowed, in our eyes, to bring the word of God? Would we have reacted differently from any of the brothers when our upstart kid brother comes along with his coloured coat and his soft hands and says that one day you're going to be bowing down to me? Would we have reacted differently? Are we listening to those in our community that God is speaking through. That's why I don't do all the preaching here at this church, because God speaks to us all through different people. That's why we allow people to pop up all over the place on a Sunday morning and share things, because God speaks to us all through different people. I love Sunday mornings, especially because we meet in this Sunday morning community other people that we may not naturally spend time with. People who are older than us, younger than us, a bit weirder than us, less as weird as we are. We get to meet them all here on a Sunday morning as we gather together. People who are cleverer than us, people who are a lot cleverer than us, and other people. We get to meet them. And that's so exciting. God can encourage and challenge us through them. You know, I've spoken to people who have been diagnosed as mentally unstable, and God has spoken to me through those people. People who've been addicts, who've been in prison, and they've spoken to me. God has spoken to me through those people. I'm not going to name anybody, but through those people. Words that have stayed with me. The problem for Judah was that because he didn't recognize the hand of God on Joseph and the word of God from Joseph, he ended up selling the one who had the voice and the heart of God at that time for him into slavery, and it was lost to him. The one who potentially God could have used to speak into Judah's life was silenced because Judah's resentment, jealousy, and prejudice got in the way of allowing God to speak through his chosen vessel. Don't repeat the sin of Judah. God uses people throughout Scripture to speak his word who do not have the right to be used. Moses, the murderer. David, the adulterer. Peter, the denier. Samson, the womanizer. God spoke through and used them all. He can use you, he can use me. Praise God. Last week, Adrian, kind of doesn't follow on necessarily from what I've just been saying, but Adrian was speaking last week, and I struggled to hear what God was saying through her. Because I was there and I was looking at her and I was thinking about the last argument we had and the ironing that's not been done yet and how lovely she is and all of that. Are there any wives in the room who you know, your husband is looking at you and he's nodding, but you know he's not listening to a single thing? It's not going in at all. And I was genuinely trying to listen. I was doing my best, but I was just too bothered with other things. But then I sat down, because at Life Group we were talking about Adrian's sermon, so I thought, oh no, I'll have to work out what she was saying. So I listened to the podcast. And I'm not lying to you. I've been listening to a lot of, you know, Bill Hybels talks. I love Bill Hybels. He's great on leadership. I've been listening to Kenny Borthwick. Sam's given me some CDs. Fantastic stuff. I'm not lying to you. That sermon I heard from Adrian was the best sermon I have heard. The best sermon I've heard. There was like revelation in practically every sentence. And as I sat down there listening on my podcast, I was writing away thinking, this is amazing stuff. Because I was just listening to God. I was just listening to God speaking through this person. Listen to some of the things that God said through Adrian. Are you ready? Hold on to God's word no matter what. Write it down. Look at that. Okay? These are just four things. Take God's word to heart, even if we don't understand it, because piece by piece, the word will begin to make sense, even and maybe especially in the tough times. Write it down. Yeah? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Listen, be obedient to God, even if it means going into dangerous places to an uncertain welcome. Write it down. Last one. There was loads more than this. Don't be victims, but face up to things. There is no place for self-pity or poor me in the kingdom of God. Write it down, Mike. But that was, I think she was talking to me then. Write it down. Do you know what? Sometimes, because you're married to somebody, Jesus said this, didn't he? Because you know somebody. You know, Mike Pilavachi came in, and we'd all be, oh yeah, God, what are you saying? I was just Adrienne. Or the previous week when Andrew spoke, I couldn't hear everything, Because I remember Andrew when he was in Sunday school, and I know him and I've watched him grow up, and he's a friend. But reading my notes, he said some critical, life-changing things. Listen to this. Follow dreams that cannot be attained without God. You have to wait with Andrew's. You know, it sinks in. Follow dreams that cannot be attained without God. Amazing stuff. Character is crucial to our dreams. He said, who are we becoming? And then he quoted somebody, said this, we can only run as fast as our character is deepening. We can only run as fast as our character is deepening. Wow, take that to the bank. Isn't that great, that? And what about the word that Jane brought the other week about the tsunami tidal wave of God when we think he's just a calm ocean? We must raise our expectations of God. Did we hear it, or did we think it's just Jane, it's just Mike, it's just Adrienne, it's just Andrew, or it's just Mark who spoke about the volcano of God that will erupt over you in your life with his awesome power? But will produce within you a fertile soil in which things can grow. Wow, you know, a revelation. Amazing. Oh, it's just Mark, he's a farmer, he's going to talk about soil. You kind of like, are we hearing the word of God through the people that God has sent to us to hear the word of God through? The people that you and I rub shoulders with. We need to begin to hear the word of God and not get distracted by the tiny, silly things. So maybe go on the podcast after just Mike has spoken and start making notes. How many times have we missed the voice of God just as Judah had, and even rejected it and sold it into slavery, sending it away when God wanted to say something specific to us? Maybe Judah's life would have not have been so messed up if he had listened to Joseph in the first place. Who are you failing to listen to? Who is God trying to speak through in your life that you're ignoring? God is God. And you know what? He'll often choose people who annoy you and you find difficult to relate to, because he's not just saying something to you, but he's doing something in you with your character. And there's a real joy when you let go of putting God in a box of who he's allowed to speak through, and all of a sudden you hear his voice in the smallest of children, or from the most innocent of conversations, or even your wife. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You need to be careful. There is such a thing as discernment and weighing what's being said. Don't start trying to walk on water because your three-year-old tells you to. But it's more likely that you're going to ignore God than listen to him. So listen, perhaps is a complicated grammatical sentence now. Are you ready? Clever ones, get ready. Everybody else, listen to the podcast. Are you ready? Perhaps walking on water and sinking because God hasn't actually told you to now and again is okay if your responsive and eager heart means that you will walk on water and not sink the one time he does tell you. Listen to the podcast. Because there are times when God just simply wants a heart that responds to him. And responds to him, and responds to him. And what I'm saying to you is this: I would rather you mucked up now and again because you're responding to the word of God through somebody else, for the chance that maybe one time you will hear God speak truly and achieve life-changing, world-changing things for him, because he sees your heart. Mike, you've messed up a million and one times because you thought you heard me and you didn't. But do you know what? Here's a word of God. And I hear it, and because time and time again, I'm just so hungry to do what God wants, that I'll respond to that again, and something will happen in the heavenly realms that will make a dynamic change for somebody, somewhere. And last of all, Judah didn't just reject the word of God, but he rejected the one who would bring his ultimate salvation. For those who don't know the story, it was only when Judah was starving later on that he released. I was in the flow then. What was that? What was it? What was the last word? Right, okay, you win. Cat wins. Round of applause for Cat. I was Elana. For those listening to the podcast, at that point, you should have a full house. Now, I'm not going to put hands up for those people who haven't got a full house so far. Okay. I didn't realize it was there. Are you sure? You're not making stuff up, are you? Okay. I'm completely thrown now. That's right. So I'm not going to do that again. So, when Judah was starving later on, he realized his need. And he goes to Egypt. And there, in Egypt, who's waiting for him? The one he rejected. There is his salvation. Where are we with Jesus? Are we at the point of rejecting him as irrelevant to us or annoying to us? There's a lot of people on street pastors, when you bump into them, and I don't want to know. You know, they'll accept the flip-flops, that's fine. And most people are brilliant, but you know, now and again you'll get one or two people saying, oh, do-gooders, or who just don't want... Jesus annoys them. It was great on Friday night because Jane was saying to me, she was talking to somebody who said, I'm going to go home and give my life to Jesus tonight. Genuinely. And it wasn't sarcasm. I mean, how good is that? That is fantastic, isn't it? It's worth all the times when people say, I don't want your stupid flip-flops. It's worth it, isn't it? For one person to say, I'm going to go home tonight and give my life to Jesus. And Jane was saying, because her friends were saying, come down the pub. She thought maybe there and then she would do it. But she said, I'm going to go home and do it. It's wonderful stuff. Where are we with Jesus? Are we at the point of not even noticing he's not around for us and we're just getting on with our lives, sleeping around and building a family and ignoring him? Or are we at the point of starvation when we know our only hope is to be found in him and we are running to him despite our sin and our mistakes because we and those who we are responsible for need us to live? When Adrienne was 50, she's 50. She's a bit older than 50. But a long time ago, when Adrienne was 50, we were celebrating. We went to this posh restaurant. This Michelin star restaurant. Have you ever been to a Michelin star restaurant? Anyone here? Oh, do you know, save up. We went to this Michelin star restaurant. And I was really hungry because I knew it was going to cost a bit. So I thought, I'm not going to eat all day. I'm going to have everything. I was really hungry, but not quite starving. It's very close, but not quite. And this waiter brought out hors d'oeuvres. I don't quite know how they fit into the whole meal thing, but they were, anyway, hors d'oeuvres. We were sat there having before you go into the restaurant, they bring these, it was hors d'oeuvres, wasn't it? Or was it canapes?
I don't know
what they were. Hey, hors d'oeuvres. And we brought out, and this hors d'oeuvre, it was salmon, which I'm not too keen on, but it was like salmon, and it was like this raw salmon, had a bean sprout sticking out of it like that, and it was like soya sauce covered all over it. And I looked at it, and I thought, that's weird. Right? Doesn't make sense to me. I've not experienced this before. Now, I had a point there when I could have rejected it. Send it back to the kitchen. I'm not eating that. It's annoying. It's not right. Doesn't make sense to me. It's not in my experience. But I was that hungry that, no, I'll give it a go. And I picked it up because it was one of the finger food. I picked it up. I put it in my mouth like that. And seriously, and I'm not just saying this because Adrian will testify, not just saying this, it was the most gorgeous thing I have ever tasted before or since. It was unbelievable. My first thought was, these people know what they're doing. They put all these weird things together. It absolutely, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. It may not make sense to you. But what I'm saying this morning is don't reject it. Don't send it off into slavery. Don't reject the one who can bring you salvation. The one who can bring you salvation. 29 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. The best thing that I ever did, before or since. Judah rejected the one who would eventually bring him salvation. And today there is one who can bring you salvation, wherever you're up to. And the question is this, what will we do? Let's pray. Holy God, You call us to live like you, to be like you, to be like God. And you know that we struggle with that, Lord. We've all in this room struggled with that. We do now. Lord, we want to live lives of character, because when character is lost, then we've lost everything. And so, Lord, we want to live godly lives. And you know that maybe up to this point, we've struggled with that. But right now we say we commit ourselves to that, Lord. Here in this point, line in the sand, Lord, we want to live close to you, to hold on to your word no matter what and to be obedient to it. Help us to watch ourselves closely, Lord. Help us to do that. And Lord, we want to listen to your prophets, those people who are next to us, whether that's the children in the kids' church who walk in and just speak your word, whether it's somebody that is eccentric and we just don't get them and yet you want to speak through them, whether it's the people at work, Lord, or whatever it may be, Lord, speak your word. May we be open to hear what you've got to say. And Lord, if we haven't given our lives to you right now, we do it. We do it. We do it. We say, Lord Jesus, come. And just right now, as we've got all eyes closed, I'm going to pray a prayer for those people who are here who don't yet know Jesus, or you're not sure if you've given your life to him. I'm going to give you that opportunity now to give your life to Jesus as I did 29 years ago. I simply want you to pray this prayer with me. And in the prayer is everything you need to know. Just say this quietly after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for what I have done in my life. I'm sorry for ignoring you. Please forgive me. I come to your cross and I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for your resurrection. I want to live a new life. Help me by the power of your Spirit to live for you. I turn my life around. I commit my life to you. Amen. Amen. Who got a full house? Oh, not everyone. Okay, superb. Well done. That's really good. And there is no prize, just the joy of actually having beaten everybody else, you know, talking about Christian character. That's what it's all about. Just destroying everyone else. So, well done. You can be the first in the queue for the teas and coffees. For the parents, could the parents of creche, just the creche children, could you go out and get the creche children, please? And Sarah's going to tell the other children to come back in here. And if the worship team could come out, it would be great if we could have a worship song before we do the notices. Thank you.